Once more, Jesus addressed the crowd. He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not be walking in the dark, but will have the light which is life." And that's what I'm speaking about today. Life and light, and life and light in Jesus. Amen. So here we go, and if I get lost or anything, just bear with me. Okay, right, I'm going to start with life, and 2 Samuel 5, 17 to 25. When the Philistines heard that David had been appointed king over Israel, they all went up to find him. But he heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will surely deliver them into your hands." And David came to Baal-perazim, and he smote them there and said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the bursting out of great waters." So he called the name of that place, "The Lord of Breaking Through." Lord of Breaking Through. There the Philistines left their images, and David and his men took them away. The Philistines came up again and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. When David inquired of the Lord, he said, "You shall not go up, but go around behind them and come upon them over opposite the mulberry trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then bestir yourselves, for then has the Lord gone out before you to smite the army of the Philistines." And David did as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba to Gezer. Amen. Amen. Here we have a wonderful picture of David and his relationship with God. And also bear in mind that David's enemies are spread out against him. And verse 19 says, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will surely deliver them into your hand." And you know, I think that's wonderful. It just shows me a depth of relationship. You know, he asked God what to do, and then he asked what will God do? And I think so often in my life, if anything goes wrong, I just more or less panic and say, "Help, help, help, I need. But we know that David had a wonderful, deep and intimate relationship with God. He knew his God. And we know David lived in the old covenant, but we also know that he moved into the new. He did. And David, I know once he talks of himself as being a green olive tree planted in the house of God. And I think that's another wonderful picture, because the olive tree represents the Holy Spirit, and green represents life. Life in the Holy Spirit, you know, that's a wonderful picture. And that's how David spoke of himself, an olive tree planted in the house of God. And we know that trees are a symbol of life. And also in the Bible, they can be referred to as people. And in this, David refers to it like this in one of David's Psalms. And I'm reading from this Charles Spurgeon book, which is one of my book of blessings upon blessings. And it says, Psalm 104, verse 16, David's saying, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. You know, that green olive tree again. And Charles Spurgeon says this about it: without sap, the tree cannot flourish or even exist. Vitality is essential to a Christian. There must be life, a vital principle infused into us by God, the Holy Spirit. Or we cannot be trees of the Lord. The mere name of being a Christian is but a dead thing. We must be filled with the Spirit of divine life. This life is mysterious. Regeneration is brought by the Holy Spirit entering into man and becoming man's life. This divine life in a believer afterwards feeds on the flesh and blood of Christ and is thus sustained by divine food. But where it comes from and where it goes, who can explain to us? What a secret thing the sap is. The roots go searching through the soil, but we cannot see them suck out the various gases or transform the mineral into the vegetable. This work is done down in the dark. Our root is Christ Jesus, and our life is hid in him. This is the secret of the Lord in the Christian. The divine life is always full of energy. The believer's graces are not all in constant motion, but his life never ceases to palpitate within. He is always working for God, but his heart is always living on him. As the sap manifests itself into producing the foliage and the fruit of the tree, so it must be with a truly healthy Christian. His grace is externally manifested in his walk and conversation. If you talk with him, you cannot help speaking about Jesus. If you notice his actions, you will see that he has been with Jesus. He has so much sap within that it must fill his conduct and conversation with life. Now, I mean, I just love this book. I really do. But, you know, I mean, I hope that's blessed you, because it really blessed me, this life, this energy. And at the moment, I'm really enjoying the books of the Old Testament. And at last, it's because I'm reading them in the light of grace. You know, and it makes it such a wonderful thing. It really, you know, it brings old into new. And when you read New Testament, new into old, and it just all merges together. And it's wonderful. So, and I'll just read this first. Isaiah 60, verse 1. It says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And that's just wonderful, isn't it? Life and light, life and light. Fantastic. Right. So I'm going back to Samuel again. Verse 20. And David came to Baal-perazim, and he smote them there, and said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me, like the bursting out of great waters. So he called the name of that place Baal-perazim, the Lord of breaking through. And last week, Ken spoke about this river of life in Ezekiel. You know, and whenever I think about River of Life, one of Bish's favourite things always comes to mind. out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. We've heard him say that a few times. This wonderful life of God flowing, God breaking through. And this life also brings victory over enemies. You know, our enemies are defeated when God breaks through. But we know that these enemies rear their heads time after time. You know, we think we're all right and they just pop up. And we have to be honest and say that life at time, and these enemies can be very hard and very ugly. And we know that we've all been through hard, really hard times, and a lot of us are still going through hard times. But I love this. This is where I got quite excited. 2 Samuel 5:23-25. When David inquired of the Lord, he said, "You shall not go up, but go around behind them and come upon them over opposite the mulberry trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then bestir yourself, for then has the Lord gone out before you to smite the army of the Philistines." And David did as the Lord had commanded him and smote the Philistines. In these verses, it says mulberry trees. And mulberry trees in Strong's is called the tree of weeping, the Baca tree. And last week, Ken were talking about the Valley of Baca. And he said that it's in this time, in the Valley of Baca, that we often grow the most. Well, these trees of weeping produce wonderful fruit. They're berries, but they're edible berries, so they are a fruit. And in this picture of the mulberry trees, we have the green leaves. Green is the colour of life, the colour of healing. And these berries are white and red, deep red and purple. And we know, like in an apple, when it's ripening, they can be, you know, bits of red and then darker red. And I suppose that's what it is with these berries. But there are white berries and then these red, which are deep red and purple. And as I've already said, that we have the colour green, the colour of life. But then in the white berries, we have white meaning holiness. And then we have red meaning blood of the Lamb, love. Purple means reign of God, kingdom. Now, so there we've got healing, holiness, blood of Jesus. We know in Leviticus that it said that the life is in the blood, and Jesus poured out his life that we might live. And then we've got purple, which is the reign of God and kingdom. Kingdom. Now, you know, to me it's a mystery that a tree of weeping could bear such wonderful, wonderful fruit. But, you know, we know that God's ways are not our ways. God is a mystery. And I once heard the Bishop of Sheffield talking about weeping, suffering. And he said that that is as much part of life as the joy and the happiness. We can't hide away from suffering or weeping, because they follow us. And we know that we all have very difficult circumstances, say, at work or in life, or these enemies come against us, say, in ill health, you know, or even emotional turmoil, emotional suffering. And we know that a lot of people can weep and cry, and we see how upset they are. But then there are other people who you wouldn't have a clue, and their weeping is all done on the inside. So, you know, this suffering is part of life. But rejoice, the fruit of the weeping tree. And we know that David's wonderful relationship with God did bear fruit, didn't it? But I noticed in that David was never told to stand under the mulberry trees. He was never told to stand under the trees of weeping. You know, and as I read those verses, I thought, well, you know, that's wonderful, but what does it mean to me? What's God saying to me in that? And I really felt that this is what God's saying to us all. God says that when we hear him moving in our life, we know that he's gone out before us. We know that he's gone to defeat our enemies. But I noticed as well that this sounding of marching, this sound of God, is not at the bottom of the tree, it's at the top of the tree. So, you know, I thought, well, we need that. Speaks that we need to make God our priority in life. If we want God to help us in everything and to be with our help us with our enemies, we really need God to be all we're focusing on. You know, and we've said before we must focus on Jesus. But we have to face our enemies. David had to face his enemies, although God was with him. He did still have to go out to battle. And it's interesting to note that after David had defeated his enemies, and after he'd had his place of breaking through, in the next chapter, David is bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. You know, and I thought that's wonderful. So, you know, that encouraged me. I really thought that, you know, there's so many things that do upset us and do cause us problems. And I know at the moment it is a problem in our life, really. Ken and I are facing a very large giant. And this giant is called B&Q. And we're having wonderful games with these giants, but we're not getting anywhere at the moment. We'll be standing. We are going to have a victory. And I must admit, the other Sunday, I did get a bit mardy and a bit tense. And I said, well, I am a bit mardy, but, you know, I'm doing this. But I found out how tense I was when it came to taking all my vitamin tablets and my capsules. I couldn't get a single one down, and that usually happens when I'm tense. So I thought, all right, here we go. So I had to chew my way through all my vitamins, all my capsules. I had to chew every one and swig them down with a big glass of water. But this Sunday I did well. I've managed to take home my tablets, so I can't be that tense this week. No. Right, now let's move on to light. And this is in John 1. This is one of my favourites as well. I love it. And it's because it's so wonderful, I'm going to read right to verse 18. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into being by him. And when he had... And came in... Oh, I've lost me. Right, I'm here. Came into being by him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and it is unreceptive to it. That wonderful, nothing can put this light out. And there came a man from God whose name was John. This man came to witness that he might testify of the light, and that all men might believe in it, adhere to it, trust in it, and rely upon it through him. He was not the light himself, but he came that he might bear witness regarding the light. There it was. The true light was then coming into the world, the genuine, perfect, steadfast light that illuminates every person. He came into the world and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him, did not know him. He came to that which belonged to him, to his own, his domain, creation, things, worlds, and they were his own, but they did not receive him and did not welcome him. But to as many as did receive him and welcome him, he gave the authority, power, privilege, right to become the children of God. That is to those who believe in, adhere to him, trust in him, and rely on his name. Who owe their birth neither to blood nor to will of the flesh, that a physical influence, impulse, nor to the will of man, that of a natural father, but to God. They are born of God. And the word Christ became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacle, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while amongst us, and we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as only a begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. John testified about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has priority over me, for he was before me, he takes rank above me, for he existed before I did, he has advanced before me because he is my chief. For out of his fullness, abundance, we have all received. All had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. For while the law was given through Moses, grace unearned and undeserved, favor and spiritual blessing and truth came through Jesus Christ. No man has ever seen God at any time. The only unique Son, God, the anointed Son of God, who is in the bosom, in the intimate presence of the Father. He has declared him. He has revealed him and brought him out where he can be seen. He has interpreted him and has made him known." And you know, and I think that is just so wonderful, that chapter. But I'm just, there's just one I want to read again, because I think that this one is so wonderful, this. "For out of his fullness, abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessings upon spiritual blessings, and even favor upon favor, and gift upon gift." There's absolutely nothing that we need. We're just covered with all this abundance. We've just been given all this abundance. And you know, if you think back, no, if I think back over my life, I just can't possibly have any idea where I would have been if Christ hadn't been in my life, if his grace hadn't been in my life. You know, it does, I can't even bear to think about that. And I don't have to think about that, and we don't have to think about that, because Christ is in our life. Amen. And just to really just emphasize this wonderful provision of God, Isaiah 45 verse 8 says, "Drip down, O heavens from above, and let the clouds pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up and salvation bear fruit, and righteousness spring up with it. I, the Lord, have created it." And that verse is from My American Standard, and there's a little heading over it, and it says, "God's Supreme Power." And I think, you know, that just sums up the power of God. It's wonderful, isn't it? But in that, I noticed that salvation bears fruit. And this fruit is the product of life within us. And and also that includes the Holy Spirit manifesting itself in our life of the Spirit. So I just want to read in Ephesians. Right. Ephesians. This is where I've got myself a bit lost, so just have to bear with me. It's 1 Ephesians 17 and 18. "For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how glorious this inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones, is." Now, that's wonderful, and Philip mentioned that, didn't you, about you know, the fruits of the Spirit, and what a wonderful hope we have in him. In Jeremiah, whatever's happening, whatever circumstances in life, that we have this hope in God. Amen. And that's about fruit. We also have Isaiah 61:10. But it's this salvation is a garment. Whether I mentioned that. Well, it's in this one, that this salvation is a garment. Isaiah 61:10. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has appointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and open the prison of the eyes of those who are bound." Amen. And in Isaiah it speaks about this garment of salvation. And about this garment in Strong's, it says, "A mystery, deep deepness, deep things, depth, also to walk." So that we know that, as I said before, that God's working in our lives, a lot of the times does seem a mystery. And the circumstances and the things that come against us, a lot of the time we don't understand. We don't even understand when we've gone through them, because God does such mysterious things as we look upon them. But yet, this garment of salvation bears wonderful fruit. We've read holiness, healing, you know, kingdom life, reigning of God in our lives. So, and at times God is so gracious to us that he will, through the Holy Spirit, give us a glimpse or show us what these mysteries can be. But when he doesn't, we just have to trust him. And that's what that is, when we just have to trust him when we can't understand. And going back to this garment, in Strong's, in the New Testament, this is what it says about this garment: inner or outer. You know, and that really thought, wow, you know, Holy Spirit in our lives once more. And we know that the Holy Spirit lives in us, this inner garment. And we know the Holy Spirit has come to manifest the fruits of salvation in us. And he has come to manifest the gifts as well. And it says he has come to reveal Jesus. And in Strong's it says this about reveal: exhibit in person, disclose by words, declare plainly. It will manifest, show plainly, relation of rest. That relation of rest, I think that is wonderful. And I know last week, it was a few weeks back, Andrew was speaking about resting. And we had a prophecy, and I can't remember every word, but this is as much as I can remember. This prophecy said, Jesus had come to save that which was lost. He had come to mend that which was broken, and he wanted us to rest in him. You know, and I mean, this come to find that which was lost and mend that which was broken is of course salvation. Jesus coming into the world, giving us salvation. And this rest, as I've read it about it in the Holy Spirit, we're to rest in the Spirit. We're to rest from our own works and rest in the Spirit. So I just want to read Philippians 2:13. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating you in the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. So, you know, there in that verse, we have a picture. I see it as a picture of rest. Resting in the Spirit. And I was listening a few weeks ago to a tape by Roy Todd. I don't know whether anybody can remember him. He was the Irishman who came to speak to us. It must be about 3 years ago, and it was called Whatever It Takes. I don't know whether anybody can remember that. But I can remember it, and I know Catherine can remember it because on the choir she quite liked this little Irish man. And he, this little, I've lost it. Let me find what he said. This little man. A minute. I don't think I've put it down, so I'm going to have to remember it. No, I'm going to have to remember it. Right, now then, this little Irishman said that for a long time and in his own life, holiness, he thought holiness was not doing anything, you know, not doing anything. But he says that holiness is life, and holiness is doing. but doing things in God's power, you know, doing things in God. And I know for years and years I concentrated on, I mustn't say that and I mustn't do that and, you know, I mustn't even think of that. But I forgot to do a really important thing like reading and speaking God's word out, spending time with God and developing a relationship and producing fruit, really. You know, I was that busy not doing, I forgot to do. And I think a lot of us are like that, or have been like that, especially in church of the gone by age, you know, I mean, not in this church, but in the churches that we've been in, we were more or less given a long do not do list. But that's all right. We know life. Our style of life is important. We know that. We know that we can't just go about doing anything. We do have to lead a life that glorifies God. But we have to be doing the things that God would have us do. And that really went back to me. That really went back to me in life. And I thought, oh yeah, I really did put myself under the law many, many times. But no, not now. I refuse to do it now. And going back to facing the circumstances of life and the things that we do have to face. In Romans somewhere it says about an armour of light, that we're covered with an armour of light. And on Wednesday Andrew said that God gives us an armour, and God gives an armour to the strong. He doesn't wrap us up in cotton wool. Because we do have to face problems in life. But this armour, Gloria Copeland says that in Hebrews, armour is a circle. So that this armour is over us as a circle. We're covered by this armour. And as well as, I just want to read an article. It's by Gloria Copeland, and it's about this subject of light and this garment of light. I found this really interesting. God himself is encircled by what Scripture calls the garment of light. Psalm 104, verse 1 to 2 says, O Lord my God, you are clothed with honour and majesty. You are the one who covers yourself with light as with a garment. That is a description of the glory of God. Adam was created in God's image, and God crowned him with glory and honour. And Psalm 8 verse 5, this a Jewish commentary on this, on Psalm 93, tells us, as he sang God's praises, Adam truly looked divine, because he was a reflection of God's image. Think about it. Adam looked just like God. He was clothed in the glory of God. He wore a garment of light. Now it's true, when Adam sinned, the glory departed from him. He lost that crown of honour. But thank God, Jesus got back everything in the redemption that Adam lost in the fall. As believers in Christ, we are temples of the living God. He goes everywhere we go. When we are filled with him, God lives in us, and we should radiate his presence and love. He has covered us with a garment or shield of light. We may not always be able to see it, but rest assured, beings in the spirit realm, including devils and demons, see and recognize the glory of God on us. Occasionally, this light is visible in the natural too. Someone once sent us a copy of a picture that had been taken of Brother Hagen preaching at one of our believers' conventions, and he was surrounded by God's glory. A shield of light was visibly around him in the photo. Now, I love that, you know, I think that is wonderful. And we know that there's more than one garment that we have to put on. You know, we have a garment, I know, listen to one of Kat, a garment of humility. We have to clothe ourselves in love as well. But, you know, this garment of light really appeals to me, and this shield of light, because we live in such a dark world. You know, if we take on all that the world throws at us and everything, we really see how gloomy this world is. But, praise God, we don't belong to this world of darkness. We belong to the light. We're children of light. So, more than anything, I just want to encourage us all and encourage everybody else who going through difficult situations, difficult problems, whatever, emotional problems or physical problems, that we have the victory in Christ. Jesus is our victory. Jesus never leaves us and forsakes us. And I just end by my favourite scripture, which is, in Him, that is Jesus, we live and move and have our being. Amen. So I hope that's encouraged you, and forgive me for when I got lost.